Okay. Payano's going to finally address the issue of cryptocurrencies. Maybe you've already indulged in this newfangled contraption that has taken the world by storm. Maybe you're a little bit worried about what it means. And maybe after using the principles that we've learned so far in this class, you realize that this isn't something that you should touch with a 10-foot pole. But let's try to keep an open mind. And as I was planning this, I was thinking, you know what, let's go find out what other people, really smart people in the world of economics, say about it. And I found two really good quotes from two famous economists. I think the internet is going to be one of the major forces for reducing the role of government. The one thing that's missing but that will soon be developed is a reliable e-cash. Now, this was Milton Friedman, who was a very famous economist, and he said this back in 1999, and he since has passed away. But many people say he foresaw Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies. Here's Alan Greenspan, who was the Federal Reserve chairperson for many years. You really have to stretch your imagination to infer what the intrinsic value of Bitcoin is. I haven't been able to do it. Maybe someone else can. Alan Greenspan. Remember intrinsic value? That's what we were trying to discern back in Chapter 6 when we worked on the present value of the future cash flows of a stock. Right. And Stephen Colbert, who is not known as an economist, who is known as a comedian, said it best, in my humble opinion. It's gold for nerds. Mr. Colbert is a very astute man, and we'll come back to his saying in just a bit. But let's turn our attention to Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. What are they? Well, they are pure speculation, dear students. There is no intrinsic value, as far as I nor Mr. Alan Greenspan can discern. And why is that? Because all you're doing is trying to buy low and then sell high. It's the greater fool theory. You're hoping that somebody comes along and has a bug in their ear and they will... or itchy fingers or whatever, they will buy your bitcoins or whatever cryptocurrency you own for more than what you paid for it. And that way, it's very similar to gold and other precious metals. Remember that we discussed those, and maybe you haven't gone through that presentation yet. We discussed that gold, for example, really doesn't have too many practical applications. Sure, it's great as a conductor of electricity, but there are other less costlier elements and minerals and materials that do the job. It's great for jewelry, but as an investment, it's simply the case of trying to find somebody who will buy your gold for more than what you paid for it. Doesn't create any income, no dividends, rent, interest, doesn't find new products, develop new products, find new markets, it doesn't raise the standard of living. It's very much a speculation, and that's the same thing for these cryptocurrencies. But they're even worse, because at least gold, you can make jewelry out of it, you can use it in your teeth, the dentists love it, they're the best stuff you put in your teeth. And also, so far, the regulators haven't caught up with the crooks yet, but eventually they're going to find a way to stop the crooks from using this. But it's a great system for criminals who don't want to have their transactions monitored. And certainly, a lot of people have lost their value of cryptocurrency from hackers. So it's very... So far, they'll figure that one out. Because the reality is the technology behind cryptocurrencies, which is called blockchain, is very valuable, very useless, useful, sorry, not useless, and will survive. The digital ledger, that is a very useful technology, and that may be, you know, that will be useful in the future. And you'll hear people say, come on, Payano, what you got against Bitcoin and all the other cryptocurrencies? You're just old. You don't understand it. This is the future, and we're all going to get rich. I'm looking forward to that first Ferrari. No, folks, I mean, no, it doesn't work that way. For some people, it will, but for the most of the people, they're going to be left holding the bag. Slide number three. Here's my rebuttal for what it's worth. First of all, as mentioned, you can't invest in a cryptocurrency. You can only speculate. The value is worth only what others believe it is worth, and you hope that they'll pay more than what you paid. Cryptocurrencies, as we said, don't pay interest, dividend rent, they don't do all the other things that bona fide, long-term oriented investments that increase the standard of living for everybody do. In other words, there's no cash flow. And more importantly, there's nothing backing the currency. And here's where the cryptocurrency advocates jump back and say, ah, ha, 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 what about the fiat currencies, huh? And by fiat currencies, they're talking about every country's currency, because nobody uses the gold standard anymore. These are just currencies that are just made up. That's what they believe. They're just made up. Aren't they the same? They're only worth something because we believe they are, huh? What if you didn't believe that $10 bill was worth anything in your pocket? Then it wouldn't be worth anything. And not so fast, okay? Hang on a minute. We're going to do a quick and dirty financial investment description. Now, if you go to the economics class, they're going to get into a lot more detail. But let's just take it for what it's worth here on slide number four. You will hear people say that our dollars and other fiat currencies are not backed by gold and are therefore worthless. Poppycock! It is so ridiculous to say that. And when they say that, I say, okay, here's a bag. Go to the bank, take out all those worthless dollars, put them in the bag, and I'll take them off your hands for you. By the way, as we saw, what is gold worth? It, too, as an investment, is really just a speculation. Our dollars are backed by our economy, the great American economic machine. Our dollars are backed by what the United States can produce and consume, our gross domestic product. Walk into any grocery store and look around, and then you tell me that our dollars are worthless. I think it's outrageous to say that. I mean, we live in this society, so I guess it's easy to point fingers at others and say the dollars are worthless until you walk into a grocery store or a department store or whatever, and you realize that, no, these dollars can buy these goods and services. They're not worthless. Slide number five. Who creates the system? That's another source of anger and fear and loathing and weeping and gnashing of teeth and beating of breast on the part of the haters, is the term we use these days, the folks who don't like fiat currencies. The job of the Federal Reserve Bank is to make sure that there are enough dollars in circulation to match the production of our economy with the consumption of our economy. If you have too many dollars, you get inflation. Too few goods being chased by too many dollars. If you have too few dollars, then you have another problem. Our economic output is stifled. Opportunities for growth of our wealth are lost. You don't want too few dollars. And the job of the Federal Reserve Bank is to get it right. And you know what? It ain't an easy job. They make mistakes, folks. They've made tremendous mistakes in the past. They've had too many dollars when they shouldn't have, and they've had too few dollars when they shouldn't have. But as we said, I mean, it's an $18 trillion economy. Let's see you do a better job, huh? These people who say, and the Fed. Yeah, let's see you do a better job. First of all, you better get your credentials in order. You need a PhD in economics and work in the various, you don't get somebody off the street, right? Just as you wouldn't want somebody off the street taking out your appendix or being the president. Slide number six. So now how does this relate to cryptocurrency and how do you explain the success of Bitcoin? Well, dear students, there is absolutely nothing to stop other individuals or groups from starting their own cryptocurrencies. Hasn't this already happened? There are now 1,500, 2,000 different cryptocurrencies, yes? And I had a hard time believing this, but I looked it up, and indeed it's there. There is a Bitcoin called Jesus Coin. And if you don't, you can't make this stuff up, folks. Fact is always stranger than fiction. Look it up. They are not an amoral cryptocurrency like all the other cryptocurrencies. Yeah, it's tulip bulb mania all over again, folks. Eventually, the bottom's going to fall out, and some people will get very, very rich. And many, many others, many more others will lose a whole lot of money. When you hear people borrowing off their mortgage to buy cryptocurrencies, it's only a matter of time. And indeed, many people bought at 19,000 and sold at 8,000. I don't know where it's going now, 6,000. They say it's going to go back up to 25,000 and then to 250,000 and eventually every Bitcoin will be worth $1,000,000. And you know what? Tulip bulbs were worth $1,000,000 when it finally stopped. Slide number seven. However, as Stephen Colbert, I said we'd come back to him, so astutely observed, it's gold for nerds. In my humble opinion, most likely a few of the larger currencies will survive and eventually start to behave like gold, which, as we saw, has barely kept up with inflation. So for those diehards who can't stand it, that there are Federal Reserve banks and modern economies and our standard of living is getting larger and they all believe that the whole thing has to be based on something that's scarce, that has nothing to do with the ability of your economy to produce and consume goods, like gold, they will stick with the cryptocurrencies because that's scarce and has nothing to do with our economy's ability to produce and consume goods. So I think a few of these will survive. Most of them will just eventually disappear. Until then, or along with that, be prepared for some serious volatility. So if you want to play the game, if you want to try to buy low, sell high, congratulations if you're successful. My condolences when, not if, you lose a lot of money. But you know what? Good luck. What can I say? Who am I to tell you not to do that? It's your money. But folks, don't do it. Now, may someday appear when the governments around the world say, you know what? This technology is pretty cool. We could replace cash and all its problems with digital currencies. And I don't know that it'll ever fully replace cash because technology is not perfect, you know. But it might, and in which case, as long as it's backed by the ability of that government economy to produce and consume goods, that's a good thing in my humble opinion. We'll see. As I said, the technology is not going away. The blockchain technology. Slide number eight. Do you remember this slide from chapter one? Stocks, bonds, short-term investments, treasury bills versus gold. To me, that's what's going to happen with those few Bitcoin, maybe Ethereum, maybe Ripple. These are the ones that seem to have the head start. And they will stick around. They'll be far more volatile than gold, but they'll probably follow the inflation for the diehards who can't believe that the modern economists know anything about what they're doing and think it's all a Ponzi scheme. But it's not. Get your clothes on, get to work, produce the goods and services that people, including you and me, will consume, and failure is not an option. Arrows and slings, rebuttals, arguments, questions, concerns, suggestions, please send them this way, dear students, and stay away from cryptocurrencies. Thank you for your attention.